Joining me in studio is legal analyst for CNN and former federal prosecutor Renata Mariotti. Hey, Renata. Was it a busy day for you? Anything going on that there's a talk about, legally speaking, nationally, that people might be interested in?
Wow. One or two things. I tell you, it's amazing when the president's lawyer slash fixer gets sentenced to 3 years in prison, and people are like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we expect nowadays, right?
It's not even a big deal. And there are a lot of folks who follow you on Twitter and listen to your podcast On Topic who have so many questions that I thought we would kind of try to get to some of those, as well as our listeners here who might be interested in the nuts and bolts. Now, a lot of people want to know is, you know, are we getting closer to the president being indicted or finding out the president? I mean, one person asked on your Twitter feed that if somebody commits a crime at this level but is told to do it, isn't the person who told them to do it also somebody you should prosecute or should go to jail for something like this?
Wow, that's a great question. And the short answer is directing someone to commit a crime is pretty much always a crime itself. So in other words, if you have some authority over somebody, if you're like the boss at work and you tell people to commit crimes and they obey your orders, mm-hmm. Then you are typically responsible for the underlying crime. So that's generally the case. And so that is why this is such a big deal. The fact that that the prosecutors and today the judge, seem to conclude that the president directed Michael Cohen to commit these crimes. One thing I will say is that particularly when it comes to, you know, complicated white collar crimes like this, that there is an issue of your mental state when you do this. In other words, for example, if I was telling my employees to gather and transport heroin for me, uh-huh. Everyone kind of knows that doing that is a crime.
Okay.
It's a little bit more complicated when let's say I work at a business and we're doing ordinary businessy things, and there's an aspect of it that's fraudulent,
okay.
And I tell my employees to do stuff. The question is, did I have the intent to defraud, or was I just careless or whatever, and the fraud was happening because my underlings were conceiving of it and not me? So here, where we're dealing with a campaign finance violation, what I would expect if President Trump had good lawyers, what I think they would be arguing is, look, you know, Michael Cohen clearly knew that this was unlawful, but President Trump, he just assumed it was all okay because his lawyer was involved. And, you know, there's a lot of problems with that because Michael Cohen, at least as the prosecutors have told it, was not acting as a lawyer here. He was kind of acting in a separate capacity. And just so everyone knows, just because you're a lawyer doesn't mean everything you do is lawyery. Now that I'm talking here on the this WGN radio show, that doesn't mean that I am giving you legal advice. I'm not. Not your lawyer. Essentially, the argument is, well, since a lawyer was involved, I would assume this was legal. I mean, that could be one way that, that he could defend himself.
The way he interpreted it.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, you have to prove, prosecutors have to prove each person's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. So it's a little bit complicated, and I want to make sure we show both sides of that here. But I guess the point is, it's certainly very problematic.
One of the questions that came up from Twitter was, is it still possible for Trump to pardon Cohen? And if so, does that explain Cohen's rhetoric after sentencing today, where he said, I'm not weak, or maybe I am weak, but it's because I didn't stop myself from covering up the president's dirty deeds?
Yeah, I took the rhetoric to be, you know, Cohen, I think, appeared to me to be upset about some of the things that President Trump was saying about him. Trump was calling for the maximum sentence and calling him weak, and he folded and this and that, which was odd. I got to tell you, I've never heard a public official speak in that manner. I mean, it was much more inconsistent with how criminals, who my former office here in Chicago used to prosecute, would talk. You know, you don't hear even people who are prosecuted for corruption in Illinois rarely are, you know, getting angry at, you know, this person's weak for talking to the feds or whatever. Everyone right. usually says, oh, we're cooperating, right? When we see even nowadays that we see politicians who are being investigated now, they all say they're cooperating and this and that. But in any event, I took that to be Cohen being angry. But certainly, I think, yes, Trump could pardon Cohen. Now, the pardon power under the Constitution is very sweeping. Now, one thing that people ask me from time to time is, well, can you pardon your own co-conspirators? Or what if
right,
the pardon...
Right, that's a great question.
Right.
You would think, hello.
These are fascinating questions. Can you pardon your co-conspirator? What if you're pardoning someone to undermine an investigation? And yada, yada. These are all really interesting questions. And all I will say is they're totally unprecedented. They have not come up before. The Supreme Court's never considered this stuff because, to my knowledge, it's never happened. Mm-hmm. So I can speculate as to what the Supreme Court might do. But the long and short of it is we don't really know. But the pardon power under the Constitution is very broad.
You know, when Donald Trump was elected, when he won the presidency, a lot of people said to comics, oh, it's going to be great for you. You're going to have so much material. And comics were like, we don't need this much material. But I will say it seems as though it gives lawyers a lot to talk about, more than comics even.
Oh, my really? God. I will tell you, you know, I was always somebody who, you know, ever since I came back to private practice, you know, there have been times where journalists have called me up and asked me, you know, okay, Caterpillar got raided today. What's your take or whatever?
Sure.
And this would be... This would right, be, right. you know, the bot. I don't know. You know, this is on page 18, you know, somewhere buried. No one really cares unless you work at Caterpillar, I imagine. Now suddenly actually people care about my opinions about things. And I guess it's because federal criminal prosecutions and investigations, which now I spend my time on the other side defending folks who are under investigation and companies that are under investigation. You know, that's suddenly very interesting to everyone, and it's crazy. I will say I've never would have thought that all the years I spent, you know, investigating complex white-collar crime would suddenly become highly relevant to the presidency. I never would have guessed.
Oh, and there you have it. It is relevant, and a lot of people want to know. You can follow Renato on Twitter. It's at Renato Mariotti, and you can catch him quite often, pretty much every day lately on CNN. But right now, he's on WGN Radio. We'll take your calls and texts if you want to join us, 312-981-7200. And we'd love to hear from you, 312-981-7200. More in a moment on WGN Radio. I don't know. Is Donald Trump fighting the law, and will he win? We are sitting down with CNN analyst and former federal prosecutor Renato Mariotti. You're listening to WGN Radio, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. A little bit of news today. Michael Cohen was sentenced to how many months?
36 months, 3 years.
Okay, 3 years. And then there was other news aside from that one. Something about Michael Flynn. Someone asked for leniency or no time or what's happening?
So with Michael Flynn, he's the former national security advisor to the president. Mm-hmm. Mueller recommended that he receive a sentence of 0 months, which is a pretty good deal.
So the recommendation from Mueller was 0 months.
Correct. That's a great deal. Okay, whenever the prosecutor recommends 0 months, you know, the best thing to do is sit down. I'd say at that point you don't say anything, say very little other than how much you agree. But there was some interesting stuff in the pushback from Michael Flynn's attorney. You know, he filed his own view as to what the sentence should be, obviously also 0 months. But
sure.
Instead of stopping there, he kind of inserted some language that didn't say, because it would be false to say this, but kind of subtly trying to suggest that, you know, Flynn was tricked or got a raw deal when he was interviewed by the FBI. You know, his crime is that he was convicted of was lying to the FBI, which, you know, is a serious matter. And somebody who is the national security advisor to the president should know that you should tell the truth to the FBI.
Sure.
I would think. But, you know, but nonetheless, he was complaining essentially that the FBI didn't interview him with an attorney present, didn't tell him he should have an attorney present.
He felt duped is what he basically said?
Essentially. I mean, yeah. They didn't come out and say it.
Okay.
Because if the attorney knows better, you know, the FBI, just so, you know, listeners know, if the FBI wants to interview you, they generally don't tell you that you need a lawyer, you should have a lawyer. Unless you're in custody, they don't have to give you Miranda warnings. So typically, you know, typically what happens is, yeah, it's the truth, Patty. So the what happens is, I will tell you, I have people now come to me all the time, like the FBI came to my office and I wanted to answer their questions because I wanted to know what they were interested in or why they were talking to me or what they were looking at. So they answer their questions to find out what's going on. And of course, they potentially can times implicate themselves.
Yeah.
In this case, Michael Flynn, obviously, is the National Security Advisor. At the time, it does not appear to me that this was a criminal investigation. It was probably what's called a counterintelligence investigation. In other words, the point here wasn't to try to investigate anyone for criminal activity. The point was to find out what the Russians were doing, why they were talking to, you know, Michael Flynn and others. Mm-hmm. And so they talked to him on that basis. And Flynn, I think, was not guarded or worried about what he was saying from a legal perspective, and he made false statements about and lied about why he was talking to the Russian ambassador. And what he told the Russian ambassador was, you don't have to worry when Trump's president, you won't have to worry about these sanctions that Obama's putting in to punish you for interfering in the election. And, you know, the question, I think one question is, why did he lie? And, you know, we still don't know that.
Right. Well, and okay, so let me get this straight. And this is also from some of your followers on Twitter. Mueller recommended 0 months for Flynn. Did he recommend, how many months did he recommend for Cohen?
So Mueller didn't have a recommendation about that. Mueller was not the one prosecuting Cohen.
Well, that's right.
What happened was technically he was. What happened was Cohen had the hammer brought down to him by federal prosecutors in New York, and then he was facing charges on a whole bunch of things. And then at the last minute, Michael Flynn pled guilty to lying to Congress and had like a special deal with Mueller, and Mueller had an attorney come up and talk to the court about that. And I think the reason that Cohen did all of that with Mueller was just to have Mueller's attorney there, because the dynamic at the courtroom was a little weird. The prosecutor from New York, the federal prosecutor, by the way, just like I was here in Chicago, a federal employee, but, you know, focused on in an office focused in Manhattan, was not, those prosecutors in New York weren't so happy with Michael Cohen because they felt like he wasn't doing enough to cooperate, wasn't as forthcoming on other subjects. They thought he was truthful as to what he said, but that there was, you know, he wasn't willing to cooperate against everybody. And then on the flip side, the Mueller team was pretty happy with Cohen because he gave them everything they wanted to know about Russia or the president or whatever. And so it was an interesting dynamic. So I think that what happened was the Mueller team was there essentially, partly at the request of Cohen's lawyer, as part of that deal, so that this way they could tell the judge, you know, all the cooperation that Cohen had done.
Well, in addition to the news about Cohen, about Flynn, we also had news about Bettina. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there. Who's this Russian woman who seemed to have infiltrated the NRA, the GOP? She was in the audience when the president called on her for a question. It's all very strange and very James Bondy.
Yeah, it was very James Bondy. You know, a lot of folks are fan. I watched that series, The Americans. It's on cable.
Me too.
Okay, that's exciting, and it's very, you know, they're doing all these cloak and dagger things, these Russian spies living amongst us or whatever. Maria Butina was kind of like that. I mean, she, I think, identified herself as a Russian, but, you know, she was around all sorts of people. If you look on the internet, you're going to see photos of her with Donald Trump Jr., with Rick Santorum, Sheriff Clark, that guy with the cowboy hat from Milwaukee, the head of the NRA. She seemed to have a lot of dealings with the NRA and the National Prayer Breakfast and so on. And she founded a group called the Right, I think it was called the Right to Bear Arms, which is weird because that's from the U.S. Constitution, not at all part of the Russian Constitution or the Russian system of laws. But in any event, she managed to infiltrate a lot of Republican circles, and she had a romantic relationship with a Republican operative, and I was alleged by prosecutors to be trading sort of romantic, favors and relationships and so forth in exchange for working for the Russians. What we learned this week, I think yesterday, was that she is going to be pleading guilty to secretly being a Russian agent while she's in the United States, the sort of cloak and dagger stuff that I think people think of when they think of what spies do. And she's also agreed to cooperate with the government in all federal and state criminal investigations. And apparently her former lover, paramour, whatever you want to call him, who's an American, a Republican, kind of a longtime Republican operative, he has gotten a target letter from federal prosecutors, meaning that they intend to charge him, indict him, presumably for the same thing she's pleading guilty to, which is she's pleading guilty to, according to ABC News, conspiring with him to secretly be a Russian agent. So, you know, if he did that, that's what I think most people think of when they say treason, right?
I think so. It's not categorized that way.
Well, the Constitution defines treason very narrowly because of various reasons relating to our founding, but you know, this is, I think, what most people think. If you're an American and you want to, make love to your Russian girlfriend so much that you're willing to sell out the United States and work for the Russian government, you know, that's a bad news.
Yeah.
My guess is he's going to get more than 36 months for that. That would just be my prediction.
All right. Well, we want to hear more from you. When can people catch you on CNN next?
So I'm supposed to be on Chris Cuomo's show tomorrow. I think that is at 8 p.m. Central, and I am on, you know, frequently all the time. You can also, as Patty mentioned, you can follow me on Twitter. My name is very hard to spell, RENATOMARIOTTI, and then I have a podcast called On Topic with Renato Mariotti.
Excellent. Have a great night. Get some rest, because I know you've been very, very busy. In addition to being an analyst and answering everyone's questions, you also have a job, so get some sleep. Well, thank you so much, Renato.
Thanks, Patty.
Great to hang out with you. More in a moment. You listen to WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez.